I don't have many unhappy memories of childhood. Okay. And I think that was a time when I truly felt like I belonged. I really, I've been lucky. I really don't have many unhappy childhood memories. So that's something I can't blame anything that came after on. Something, by the time I was around 8 or 9, I realized I was gay. So that changed a lot of things in me. That was my loss of innocence. That was the start of feeling not part of. That was the start of feeling kind of an outsider. At that age, you don't know what it even really means. All I knew was that I was different. It was also, what, 1970 or 71, so it was not safe to be gay in India. It was not spoken about. It was completely underground. So it was something that I knew was different in me, and I needed to not tell anybody, and I needed to pretend to belong. So those were the lessons I kind of took from that, and I didn't come out till I was 31. So that whole thing of trying to pretend I was somebody else carried on for the longest time through all my formative years. So I was basically whoever people wanted me to be, whatever was the safest in the room, that was my identity. I came to America when I was 21 for grad school. I came here primarily because I thought I'd be able to have a gay identity in America. And that's why I left India, because I was kind of sort of privileged in India, in sense I don't mean money wise, but I had the right pedigree, if you know what I mean. I went to the right schools, blah, blah, blah. So my path was laid out for me, except I would have had to stay in the closet if I wanted to continue down that path. So I decided to basically move to America. And when I came here, that was 1984. It was, first of all, I was again an outsider all the time. I started in grad school. My first year in grad school was a terrible experience. I was treated really badly by the school itself. And I actually ended up quitting and moving to a different school because they were. It was a rude shock because I was also kind of, I thought that things would be different in America in that things like freedom and justice and all the stuff that you hear about. I believed all that before I came to America. But the way I was treated was quite unjust. Basically, if you are an immigrant, especially if you're an immigrant student, they can do whatever they want with you, and you're stuck because your whole visa is tied in with the school, and you just have to take whatever they throw at you. But I wasn't willing to do that, so I actually switched schools after 1 year. But it fit in with my whole thinking that it's a very unjust and cruel world where I had to be on my guard all the time. And this whole it just fed into the cynicism, not believing in systems, all of that. The other thing is when I came here, definitely me being brown was in India, everyone looked like me, whereas here I look completely different from everybody else. So I stuck out there too. And I didn't know how to socialize in America because the way people socialize here is very different. In India, I've always been able to make friends very easily. And in India, I had a lot of friends. The way we interacted is you meet somebody, you basically say, "Hey, do you want to meet up?" And you would meet up and then decide what you're going to do. just sit on a neighborhood wall and watch people, or just sit and chat, or go to a movie, whatever. It was, you decide when and where, and then what comes later. It didn't matter what we did. Whereas in America, I learned that when you tell people, "Hey, do you want to meet up?" They'd be like, "For what?" And I learned to say, "Do you want to meet up for a drink?" Because I learned that everybody says yes. So my drinking really started in earnest in America. I had drunk in India, but not very much. For one thing, it was not part of socializing. Secondly, you couldn't afford it. I drank in college, in the dorm, like four or five of us would get together and pool our money in, and we'd just buy like one big bottle of beer or something, between four or five of us. And we'd drink that to kind of feel adult and feel. And the funny thing is, when I think back about it, between that one bottle of beer between four or five of us was enough to allow us to act silly. We're not drunk. We're not, it didn't really, but it allowed us to act silly. It allowed us to do things which we, or say things which we normally wouldn't do. Anyway, I came to America, and that's when, first of all, the loneliness of being an immigrant, the loneliness of being a brown immigrant. The other thing that is pertinent is I came here basically so I could come out, but I came here at the height of AIDS. So I was scared to come out. So it took me a while to get past that and finally come out, and 7 or 8 years later. So it was I realize now, many years into sobriety, how pivotal that period of my life was, and how my alcoholism or my drinking really took off during that time. I've always had a really high tolerance for alcohol, so I didn't have to really watch myself. I just drank a lot. Finished grad school, moved to Boston for work. The anonymity and being a big city, finally I came out. Socializing for gay men was all in bars, which fit me just, I mean, suited me just fine. Okay, because I was a pro at drinking in bars. And once again, it was a whole new society. I had to figure out how it worked, who I needed to be to fit into that society, where I belong, how do I belong, do I want to belong, all this shit. And even in gay society, there is a fair amount of discrimination and racism as well. So even there, I didn't feel like I could trust everybody. So this constant thing was that don't trust anyone. Don't let anyone see who you are. That was the constant theme in my life for the longest time. I drank kind of successfully, I suppose, for many years because, like I said, I had a very high tolerance, so I didn't have jackpots per se. But it got to a point where I was so physically addicted that one day I forgot to drink enough. It's not that I didn't drink at all. I didn't drink enough, and I had a withdrawal seizure. That was the level of my consumption at that point. And I had no clue that I was addicted or alcoholic or anything. And so that started my journey into recovery because I knew what a withdrawal seizure was. I'm a scientist and I work on the brain. So if I had had an accident, if I'd been arrested, I might have been able to explain it away. But I knew exactly what a withdrawal seizure was. And that told me that I was physically addicted. Well, it came out of nowhere, so I didn't think I would be able to quit. I really didn't think I could quit. So I was kind of caught in this place where I had to quit, but I didn't think I could. I used to go to AA meetings. There was a gay clubhouse literally around the corner from me. And I would go there practically every day. And they had all these couches, and it was a very comfortable space to be in. And once I realized I was addicted to alcohol is when I had to drink 24/7. Before that, I just drank after work. I didn't drink alone. I went to out to bars. I loved drinking in bars. So that's where I did the majority of my drinking. But once I knew I was addicted, I had to, I kind of convinced myself that I had to keep drinking all day or else I would have a seizure. That was like this, was my thinking at the time. And so I was drinking all, pretty much 24/7. It was more comfortable to be on couches in that AA clubhouse than it was to be on couches at home. So I would go in there drunk. I would go in there, well, not, when I say drunk, I had a lot of alcohol in me, but I, like I said, I had very high tolerance for alcohol. So it's not like I was staggering or anything. But people, obviously people knew. I also couldn't even sit there without nips in my pocket. Sometimes I'd have to go into bathroom and have a nip just to be able to sit through that hour. And I felt comfortable there, but I didn't believe all that I was hearing. People were welcoming. And thank God there was this one guy who pulled me aside once and said, "We all know you're drinking. Don't worry about that. Just keep coming." Because at that point, I was like, "Oh, this shit's not working for me. I was going to stop because stop going." But luckily, this guy pulled me aside and said, "It doesn't matter if you're drinking. Just keep coming." So I kept going. But a lot of what I heard did not, I didn't quite trust it. There was this thing, first of all, it seemed like they were saying, "Okay, we'll teach you how to stop drinking. And if you succeed, then we get the credit. If you fail, it's your fault." That was what I took it to mean. There was this, and it was like a very mysterious program. There's no clear-cut things. And I was like, the other thing was, I do not believe in God. And it was all about God. It was about turning your will over, which I didn't believe in. I was raised a Hindu. And one of the tenets of Hinduism is that the will is one of the greatest gifts that you have as a human, and you have to use it wisely and train your will. And so this whole thing of turning your will over was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I decided I was not going to do the steps. I was told to get a sponsor. The other thing is, I've always, prior to, I wouldn't say immediately after getting sober, prior to at some point in recovery, as long as I had somebody to blame for my troubles, I was okay. I could be really unhappy, but as long as I could blame someone else, it was okay. So when I walked into the AA rooms and they said, basically, you have to get a sponsor and these are the things we do, blah, blah, which I didn't believe, my first instinct was, "I'll get a sponsor, I'll do all those things, and then I'll drink just to show them that this doesn't work." That's what I wanted to do. But I was stuck. I needed that place. I needed that. And so and I was out of options. I didn't know what else to do. So I basically never got a sponsor. That was my first moment of, I think, radical honesty in this program, was realizing that I wanted to game the system. I was used to gaming the system. So I have never had a sponsor. I went through 6 months of detoxes while attending AA. I finally went to a rehab. I only went to the rehab because I was told, first of all, they said the insurance wouldn't cover me anymore unless I went to a rehab. The other thing is, by that time, I'd convinced myself that the only reason I wasn't getting sober was because my then partner was on my case all the time about my drinking. And how could I get sober when he was putting so much pressure on me? If I went away to rehab, I wouldn't see him for a few weeks, and this I wouldn't feel like drinking because he was the problem. So that's the reason I went to rehab, to get away from who I thought was the reason why I drank. When I got there, I had to finally face myself. I still wanted to drink. The other thing that happened was, at that rehab, there were all these people who were from, basically, I would say, like a social class that I did not really associate with. I had never realized how much of a freaking snob I was at the time. But there were a lot of people who were basically like coming from the streets or had been homeless and so on. And I'd always thought of myself as this, oh, empathetic person. I always give a dollar to homeless people, blah, blah, blah. But I looked around and these people were really trying to get on with their, get sober and get on with their lives. And they had lives that I thought were beneath them. And I had been so lucky all my life, and I wasn't even fighting for it. So I learned to get the courage to at least try from these people that I've met at the rehab, people that I normally would not have associated with. But another thing that happened with that came a revelation that I was not who I thought I was. I've always thought of myself as introspective, and I thought I knew who I was. Somewhere by the time I was 21, 22, I was like, okay, I know who I am for the rest of my life. This is who I am. I thought I knew myself. I stopped checking to see if I knew myself, and led me into, I had gone to a place where I didn't know who I was. I haven't had a drink since I came out of rehab. I instinctively realized that I needed AA in some way to stay sober. So I basically, for the last, well, 17 years, I've been attending, on average, I'd say 5 meetings a week. This is someone who doesn't believe in AA, doesn't believe the message of AA. I've done lots of service in, at that, especially at that place. I've done a lot of service there and talked to a lot of people and gradually built sort of my own program and my own recovery, because I've always had a very complicated relationship with AA. This whole thing of belonging, do I belong? Do they let me belong? I've not felt like I've belonged even in the AA rooms, partly because of not believing in God, not having had a sponsor, not having done the steps. There's always, I've felt that people are a little nervous around me for that reason. I'm almost 17 years sober. If I go out and drag tomorrow, I know that people will say that's because he didn't have a sponsor or didn't do the steps. Not that, okay, he stayed sober for 17 years. And I don't know if all of that thinking comes from my distrust in systems. Whatever it is, it has led me to kind of figure out what I believe in. It's very easy for me to say, oh, I don't believe in that shit. But then I had to figure out, okay, if I don't want to do it that way, what am I going to do? What do I believe in? And all of that didn't come easy for me because I never wanted personal responsibility. My instinct would have been to fake it, but I wouldn't have made it because I know instinctively when I'm faking it, because I've been faking shit for all my life as being an outsider, being gay in straight society and passing, being an immigrant in American society and passing, being brown and white society and passing, all of these things. I know how to play that game of pretending like I belong. And I could have done that in AA, but luckily, instead, what I got was this idea that I need to figure out who I am, what my beliefs are. And that has influenced life outside of AA. It's because these are questions I've been wrestling with all my life, right? Do I want to belong? What do I have to give up to belong? Who am I? What I've learned in recovery, which has served me the best, is taking personal responsibility, figuring out who I am, what my principles are, what my values are, and sticking with that. Now, I also have to be open to change all the time. And I cannot, because even my morals and principles can change based on my growth. So that was another message that has served me well that I got from AA, is to be open to changing. I cannot do any of this stuff on my own, because going away and trying to figure out who I am by myself simply doesn't work. I live it amongst people. Spirituality for me is how I relate to people. If there was no other human in the world, I wouldn't need spirituality. For me, spirituality is figuring out how to deal with people and coexist and be find happiness and peace. And so I cannot do that on my own, because it's not an intellectual exercise. I have to interact with people and learn from people, and that is what has kept me in these rooms. But at the same time, I am not, I am most certainly not a traditional AA person. But it has served me well. It has given me this gift of taking personal responsibility and being allowing myself to admit I was powerless over alcohol. That part of it allowed me to take power over the rest of my life, over my own happiness. I didn't believe I could control my own happiness and peace, but I can. And that's something, that belief that I can is something I got in recovery. And so so my journey has been, is still ongoing. I'm certainly not, I'm certainly, that's the other good thing. When I first came into AA in particular, I was like, I needed a reason to stay, because I was afraid I would just get sober and leave. And instinctively, I knew it would be good for me to stay, because there was more going on than just not drinking. And for me, I had to give myself, a reason to stay, a mantra, if you feel like. And for me, it's like, I'm here because I'm searching for happiness and peace. Any way to get happiness and peace. I can never have too much happiness. I can never have too much peace. So I keep staying, because it's a constant. I have a carrot I dangle in front of me all the time, and that has worked for me. If you this whole thing of, if you see a drink, you're gonna, if you see alcohol, you're gonna drink it and be afraid of yourself. That was not a message that I was comfortable with. Instead, I wanted to find a way to empower myself, to trust in myself. And so I've stayed all these years, and I will continue to stay, because I'm still enjoying recovery. I'm much more open to finding spaces that I feel I belong in. I'm not limited to physical meetings anymore. I don't even go to that place where I spent 15 years doing all that service and stuff, because I was not getting enough out of it. I was only going there because it was around the corner, it was easy to do it, and there was not much else that I. But with Zoom, it's opened up a whole bunch of other meetings, a whole bunch of other spaces, and it's almost recharged my recovery and made me realize my story has changed over the years. And that's, it should, as I get more mature in my thinking, and if I'm getting more honest, it should. The things that seemed important when I started, when I first walked into the rooms, people were talking about unhappy childhoods. I spent a year pretending that I had an unhappy childhood just so I could belong. This thing of tell them whatever they want to hear, that happened even in the rooms, in sobriety. But I don't do that anymore, because I don't try so hard to belong. And I find that when I don't, I'm much more honest with myself. And people, the response of us, if I am desperate to belong, people will not, or they stay away from me, but the more the stronger I get, the more doors open. Things I didn't realize that that would happen, but that's been my experience. So that's about all I have. If someone is new or coming back, I would really, based on my experience, whatever program, quote unquote, you're working, make it your own, is what I would say. You have to believe in what you're doing because you cannot fool yourself. That's what I've found. So find, there's no one way, so find a way that feels right for you. But stay within the confines, or not the confines, the community of recovery. It's everywhere, and it's a safe place to be. That's all I have.